Good morning, everyone. Yes, I just had such a sense during worship. Aaron's came in and just grabbed me by the arm and said, "Listen, you must come to the front now." But I had such a sense in worship. Yo, the Lord loves His people. And this morning, it's so special that we can get together, God's people, His children, and that we can share this time together and worship Him. And I feel that He goes so far to such an extent to show His love for us, that we can experience His love. So, like Aaron said, my name is Ludolf, and I have the privilege to be preaching to you guys this morning. And yesterday, while I was in the kitchen, my wife said, "How's it going with a prep?" And I said, "No, it's going all right. I'm preparing everything in English." And she stops and she looked at me. And she said, "Are you serious?" So bear with me. So we're kind of going through like a small series of evangelism. And so 3 weeks ago, Aaron shared a bit on why and how do we invite people to church, to community, into our lives. And the short on that was that we have the opportunity to show people the life that we are experiencing in Christ. To show people that freedom, that liberty. And last week, for you that weren't here, Seelan preached on, can anyone evangelize? And where's John? So John answered that question quite eagerly. And Seelan also shared on what the gospel is and how to share the gospel. And that the gospel of Christ should be in our hearts. That it can just come naturally to overflow when the opportunity is there. So before I'm going to share to you on the topic that I have today, I want to ask a question. Whom of you found Jesus by a person or someone that shared the gospel to you? That should be pretty much, that should be pretty much all of us. So which means that God used someone. There was a time He used someone in your life that shared to you the good news of Christ. And that was there was something about the life in that He shared that brought you here this morning. So back in the day, when I was 18 years old, I was lost as any man without Christ can be. And I was on my way to university and looking forward to this life of freedom out of the house, new things coming. And a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, invited me to a first year's camp just before university began. I think the timing of that camp is actually quite good. And what I didn't know, I knew that this camp is going to be loads of fun, new people, first year students preparing us for whatever's ahead. But what I didn't know is like this was a solid Christian camp that's there to point guys to Jesus. So it was like, I think, a five-day camp. So on one of the evenings, they had this play. Yo, this is where my English is diving. They had this play of the crucifixion. It was the guys hosting the camp, and they got all dressed up. In the evening, there was lights. It was on this grass, big grass lawns next to a river. And they did so much effort, and they tried to portray the crucifixion of Jesus. And as I was watching that, yes, I was struck to my core about what Christ did for me and that He gave Himself for me. And the best way I can describe it is, you guys know those demolition balls when they want to demolish a building. It just felt like I was sitting there and I got struck by one of those balls. And for the first time in my life, then I had to choose. I felt that was the first time I had to choose between Christ and a life in Jesus, because I knew about Him. I knew about Jesus. I wasn't living in Him. And then I got confronted with that choice. Am I going to live for Jesus? Or am I going to just dive into the world and keep on keeping on what I'm doing? And luckily, that was such a good night. I chose Jesus. And just sitting there and praying and committing my life towards Him. And then the weeks went by. Varsity started. I went to the courses. What's courses in English? Res? Hostel. Is it hostel? Hostel, it klink ook soos a food house. And then the table is set in the hostel. Who of you went to hostel at Varsity? So the table is set there. You can have lots of fun. And lots of worldly fun as well. So, I fell. I fell so many times. So a couple of weeks went by. And then there was this outreach, this campus outreach for students. And there was this bunch of passionate Christians, young guys, that had an evening all set up. And we were a few guys. I'm not even sure how I got there. But we were a few guys there, and they shared the gospel. And then they had this opportunity to respond. And I raised my hand. Not out of a place of, I need to give my life to Christ. No, I've already done that and I knew that. But I'm battling and I'm fighting and it feels like I'm losing this fight. So this guy named Kali, I was wondering now, whom of you know Kali? I think Danine there at the back, she might remember him. And he gave me the opportunity just to sit with him and confess my sins. And he prayed with me. And it's if, from that moment on, the Lord surrounded me in the hostel, in the courses. He surrounded me with friends, with guys that loved Jesus, that walked the road with Jesus. And that was quite a rare thing to find back then in the courses, especially the one that I attended. I'm going to continue with the story. A couple of months later, as I was walking this journey, we were actually preparing for an outreach. And we had this braai, like an information braai, at the church that we attended. And all of a sudden, there was this guy that just popped in. And everyone we were standing at the braai, everyone thought, no, he's like a mate of someone's that's standing there. And we later found out, no, he just invited himself. He wasn't even invited. And he started asking questions like, hey guys, do you know, you're going on this outreach, do you know what salvation means? Do you know what Lordship means? Do you know what baptism? Do you know baptism in the Holy Spirit? And he continued and continued. And the Lord used that man to lay solid biblical foundations in my life. So the point I want to make is to show you how God used people in my life to bring me into Christ. And I'm sure how the Lord uses people in all of our lives to bring us into the more of Christ. So today, I'll be sharing on, are there any limits to evangelize? Are there limits to evangelize? John, you want to have a go there? No, guys, there's no limits. Do we limit ourselves to evangelize and to share the gospel? Oh, yes. So let's dive into the word. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. They were done. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we tired. We toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So from there, these fishermen's lives were filled with the life of Jesus, filled with testimonies, filled with salvations, filled with faith, filled with miracles, filled with a life. So here's the question. Have you been called? Have we been called to evangelize? Have you been called to share the gospel? Let's look at 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Look at that scripture. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. So we haven't been called to sit at work, wishing the time away from a Monday to a Friday. Thank goodness it's Friday. We haven't been called to be in that habit. We haven't been called to scroll our times away on the phone and let the enemy come and steal. We've been called to proclaim the excellencies of the Lord, to share to others this new life that you have been given by grace through faith, to live a life worthy of his sacrifice so that he can be glorified and so that people can get to know him. This is the good news. This is the good news of the gospel. It is good news for men that men can live in a restored relationship with God. Forgiven his trespasses, living day by day with a Savior that tells you, you are loved. He clothed you with righteousness and gave you this honorable and such a precious task to proclaim his excellencies. How good is that word? His excellencies. The mysteries that there is found in Jesus. How privileged we are. But why then sometimes do we hold back? We're like, Lord, I hear you. I just can't. Can't share. It's like, Rudolf, die man moet weet. Gaan deel met hom. Yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord. Yes. I just can't. You're my time. For this or that. And sometimes there's like this barrier that we just can't break. I want us to have a quick look at Paul's life. Yes, this guy was evangelizing. He was evangelizing that whole part of the world. So where did he share the gospel? Where did he share? He shared it in synagogues. He shared it in public places. He shared it even in prison amongst the saints. He pretty much shared it everywhere he went. So I'm going to just take us through Acts 13:4. We're not going to read it. Just to get a glimpse of the conviction that Paul had on his life, sharing the gospel. So it was his first missionary journey with Barnabas. I'm sure all of you know the story. And then they got sent. And the first place they went to, I think, was Cyprus. And they shared the gospel to the people. And the people responded quite well. Then they went to Antioch, where they shared a powerful message. It's like this long, long part in the synagogue. That was on the one Sabbath. The next Sabbath, the word says, almost the whole city gathered. I'm not sure how big those cities were. But imagine the whole of Bosof. That's a small place. The whole city gathers to hear their message. He shared the gospel. But the Jews stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. From there they went to Iconium. How do you say these things? Iconium. They preached in the synagogue. The people of the city got divided. Both Jews and Gentiles wanted to stone them. So now it got like, this got like serious now. I was like, hey guys, where are you? Moet ons nou beweeg. Hierdie manne gaat vir ons vang. But that wasn't their heart. They fled to Lystra. Lystra. There they healed a man. So what happened is Paul preached. He brought the good news. He saw a man that was lame in his legs. And he saw he had the faith to get healed, and he healed him. And you guys know the story. And then the people lifted up their voices and said, behold, the gods have come down. And they called Barnabas Zeus. You guys remember the story? And they called Paul Hermes. And then the people of Lystra started to worship these guys that did the miracle and brought this message. And they tore their clothes and said, they tried to stop them, don't worship us. And they tried to bring truth on who we are and what we do. But they couldn't stop these people. But there was guys that stopped them. Jews came from the previous towns, Antioch and Iconium, and persuaded the crowds. They stoned Paul. The one moment, think about this. This is crazy times. The one moment, they're worshipping these guys. They're bringing like cattle and stuff to sacrifice. The next moment, stenig. They dragged Paul out of the city. They left him there. They thought he was dead. The disciples gathered about him. He rose, and what did he do? That man knows his word. And he went back to that city. Round two. I'm ready for you. But no, okay, so the next day he went and he went to Derby, and the surrounding towns, and he preached the gospel there and made disciples. Then he went back to that place, Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, where he knew persecution was waiting. Can you see to what extent Paul went to share the gospel, the good news, willing to give his life, stepping out of his comfort zone? And then, like I said earlier, we get excuses. We don't want to get out of the boat. We don't want to step out of our comfort zones. We might argue and say, yes, Lord, but this was Paul, eh? This was Barnabas. That was them, all right? Let's consider Acts 8 verse 4. So what happened here? First church, Stephen was sharing his faith. He got stoned. Yes, see, these guys stoned, eh? He got stoned for his faith. And then the church persecution got hectic from there. And that's where Saul, that became Paul, he started dragging people from their homes, throwing them into prison. And let's read. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. So the saints could not but share the good news to the people. As they scattered, they could not but declare and proclaim his excellencies. So I want to tell you this. I am called to proclaim the excellencies of Jesus. You are called to proclaim and preach the good news of Jesus to a dying world, a world without hope. The only reason that you are sitting here, most of us, is that someone preached to you the word, the gospel, and that you came to salvation through a person that shared that. So sometimes, and I want to make a point. Sometimes we like that barrier. Lord, yes, I know, I hear what you're saying. You want me to share, but I can't. I'm not good enough, Lord. I'm not an elder. I don't have a position. I didn't go to Bible school. Can you guys remember, who did God use in the Bible? Who did he use? He used the fishermen. Whom of you like fishing? Oh, there's a couple. You guys are next level, eh? So, if you fish with bait, jy vrot. If you use sardines, whom of you know rooi aas? What's rooi aas? Red bait in English. Jy stank. He used fishermen. He took a guy that was stuttering, Moses. And he became this guy that led his nation out of Egypt. He used an oak that ate locusts. Maliki, the greatest before Christ. He used that man who wore, what did he wear? He was wearing all this camely. He used the dropouts. And we the dropouts, eh? We them. That's us. And this is the thing. If you feel you're not qualified, if you feel you don't have the strength, if you look at King Saul, he was this tall man, conquering, winning the battles, but he fell and God departed from him because he trusted in his own strength. He got prideful. God doesn't need your strength to proclaim his excellencies. No. He needs your faith. He needs our willingness to step out. So what are the limits we put on ourselves to evangelize? I would argue the greatest limit is our comfort zones. So I want to get back to that Luke 5. The disciples, they fished the whole night and they got nothing. They were finishing up. They were busy washing their nets. They toiled the whole night. And yet Jesus asked them again, put out to the deep. Do something. Take your nets. Put it back in your boat. And go out to the deep again. Like I said, I enjoy fishing. A couple of weeks ago, we went on a fishing trip. And we were fishing hard for a couple of days from the rocks and the funny strand off. And this one day we fished from the morning till the evening, through the evening, into the next morning. Yes, it's decent, eh? When you catch fish, you can go and go and go. But when you catch nothing, you want to go and have a shower. And you want to get in your bed and rest. You almost feel like irritated. You feel like I failed. But the disciples, yet, they did what Jesus asked of them. They went out to the deep and caught a big catch. They left their comfort zones. So, whom of you, and I'm sure there's some of you, whom of you know the story about the Moravian young men? The Germans. The first it was the two German friends, I believe. I don't think they were brothers. So the story goes like this. It was back in the 1700s. These two men, the one was a potter and the one was a carpenter, I believe. And they felt the call to go and minister to the slaves in West Indies in the 1700s. This is not today's time. And the only way that they could have done that and went was to be slaves themselves. Does it ring a bell? Do you remember the story? So what did they do? They sold themselves into slavery to go and witness to the slaves on the West Indies. So the story goes like this. As they were standing, greeting their church, greeting their family, knowing they won't see them again. They're not gonna return. I'm not sure what the life expectancy of a slave was in the West Indies back then. I'm sure it wasn't that great. And as they were saying, their family weeping and hugging and so one of the men turned around and he said the following words, shall not the lamb have the full reward of his suffering. Shall not the Lamb have the full reward of his suffering? And this is where I'm going to land it. When you share the gospel, will people reject the gospel? Yes. The first guy I preached the gospel to, after about half an hour I spoke to him, he says, "You can stop now. I don't believe in Jesus." He rejected the gospel. Will the gospel that you share offend people? The Bible tells us that. Yes, it will. The Bible even tells us we will be hated by following Jesus and sharing the gospel. Just look at Paul. But will the gospel change lives? Bring hope to the hopeless. Restore identities. Save people from an eternal fire into eternity, living with the one that gives life, that restores us into a relationship with our Creator, with the one that gave Himself for us. Yes. What do we have to lose? What do you have to lose to share the gospel to someone? What do we have to lose? Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. We died. We're already dead. We've been crucified with Christ. It's not... I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He doesn't need my strength. He needs my faith. There are souls to be saved for Him. There are churches to be built for Him. There's a bride to get for Him. So ask the Lord for opportunities to share the gospel. Look out for the opportunities to proclaim His excellencies to one another, yes, but also to the lost. Follow the Holy Spirit as He leads you, as you feel that prompt. Rudolph, he needs to hear. There's got to be someone this week. There's got to be someone in your day, Rudolph. Listen to the Spirit. Be sensitive to the Spirit. Step out of your comfort zones. Go into the deep. If you're tired, I've worked all night, caught nothing. Go back. Cast your nets. Step out in faith. Amen. Can I give back to you?
Sure. Yo, let's close our eyes. Little shared and he encouraged us this morning on stepping out and sharing the good news. If you are here this morning and you don't know the good news, Jesus saves, still saves. He died on the cross so that we can walk in freedom that leads to eternal life. That's the good news. That's the beautiful news. If you haven't accepted that, and you're here this morning, and you are stirred up to share the good news, there's this opportunity to accept the good news, to take hold of it, so that you can go and share it. So if you want to give your life to the Lord this morning, if you want to open up your heart and say, "Lord, come into my life so that I can experience the good news, so that I have it to go and share it." I want to ask you, will you be bold enough to just give an indication? We're not asking that you stand up and come to the front. But we do want to know if we can pray with you. this morning. Our heart is not to put anyone on the spot. Our heart is for people's lives to be changed and not miss out on a moment for that. If you are stirred up this morning to give your life to the Lord and you can't get yourself to raise your hand, when we are done and everybody starts walking in their own direction, please don't hesitate to get to someone and say, I want to give my life to the Lord. To step out into that boldness. And then for the rest of us, for everyone who has given their life to the Lord and who stirred up this morning, to step out in boldness and courage and faith to share the good news, can I ask you to stand with me this morning? Because I'm going to pray now, but I am standing for that prayer as well. For that word that Ludolf brought this morning has spoken to my heart. The Spirit has touched me this morning, and I'm challenged. And I know the challenge doesn't stop here, and it doesn't stop with this prayer that we're going to pray. The challenge starts tomorrow morning, or when you walk into the shop now. In your heart, just pray. Oh, I'm going to give us just a few seconds just to pray your own prayer to the Lord. And you can mumble it down, you can raise your voice, you can do it in your heart, but let's just take a moment and be quiet in front of Him. Lord, thank you for that person who shared the good news with me. I thank you this morning for that person. I thank you for that moment that you gave where you reached out to me and you touched my heart. And I couldn't deny it anymore. And I said, come into my life. I accept you. I thank you that you have changed my life immensely. You have changed my life drastically. You have changed my life into the more of you, Lord. I thank you for that. And this morning, I come and ask that you, as you have stirred it already in my heart, to step out in faith and courage and boldness, to step out to share the good news. I pray that when I get confronted with that challenge this afternoon and tomorrow morning and the day after that, that I will stop using excuses and start using the faith that you've given me. And I'll step out into that, Lord, so that more people will get to hear the good news. That I'll have the courage to invite people, not just to church, but into the life that you have for them. That I'll share the good news. And that's my prayer. That's our prayer this morning, Lord. As we stand in front of you, the one who saves, the one who gives courage, and the one who's looking for that faith and willingness. We say, here we are, Lord. We are willing to step out and share the good news. We are willing to share who you are to those who need you. And let no opportunity pass us by to share the good news. Let us seek and seize those moments that you give us. Our Lord, may people's lives be changed. May testimonies come to life as you touch them, Lord. As you touch hearts and change lives. May more people come to you by us being obedient to your word and to your call. And the purpose that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that you stir it up in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Guys, we've got jaffles there in the back. If I can ask this very nicely, that we do not eat. The jaffles are cold in anyway, so please take it home and go heat it up at the house. But yeah, go make sure that all the jaffles get sold out. If you need tickets, come and speak to me, please.